I'm bringing hassle back.
Get your sexy on.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, presented by Hair Club. And isn't that interesting? Hair Club. Love your hair. Live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. The pitch man is Chase McKay. But on the show right now, you've got three proud bald guys. You got me, you got T-Mace, and you got Tim Hasselbeck. And we've had this discussion many times, but it's fun when I read the liner. So, Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking NFL. Tim, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, I thought D-Mace was bald by choice.
Well, I used to be bald by choice, but now there's nothing I can do about it, Tim.
It made your transition very smooth,
exactly.
Right? Because Tim and I, we had to have the transition. That was we have tough choices to make.
I told you guys before. Yeah. I was a monic tumor. Told me one time, he's like, "Hey, man, fire it before it quits on you."
Hey, man, you got to be ahead of the curve, man.
That's right. Everybody needs a friend like that. Everyone needs a friend like that.
No question.
In fact, I actually said to Elizabeth at one point, I was like, "Yo, hey, wait a second, like, I can't believe you let me go this far. Like, I thought we were a team here."
Hey, man, you know she got to let you hold on as long as, like, okay, listen, you wouldn't tell her if something was wrong with her, would you? Absolutely not. You wouldn't say, "Hey, babe, maybe you need to, you know, drop a couple
stop
pounds."
Right there. Stop right there.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
That's fair. Very fair.
So, Tim, let's start with tonight. The Titans, who we'll get to in a moment here, they are so banged up. And you've got the Jets and the Jags, two teams that have had not a lot of recent success, to say the least. They both have some playoff hopes right now. This is a really big game tonight. I was actually a little bit surprised to see the Jets favored, just given that Trevor Lawrence really looks like he's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, totally figuring it out. There was a play last week that I thought really stuck out for Trevor where he ends up throwing a touchdown pass to Zay Jones, and they were trying to get a pick for Christian Kirk into the flat, and Dallas passes it off. He sees it, and it was like to me, you know, there are plays that you see a guy make where you go, okay, like the light switch has gone. Like it just, and he's seeing it the way that, you know, other guys don't. You're not just running plays. Like you literally have a total understanding of what's going on. And so I would agree with you. And, you know, I think conversely, you know, you look at the other side of it. Now, Zach Wilson, I think, did show some promise last week, which, you know, it was probably a good sign for his career. But by and large, like that moment of, hey, the light switch going, you know, like being turned on for Zach Wilson, like there certainly has not been that moment yet. So this is a huge, huge game. Jacksonville's playing great. And I think that, you know, the Jets are playing, you know, playing well in certain aspects. But I still think like the uneasiness of the quarterback play would have me concerned if I was a Jets fan.
So that being said, it's such an intriguing thing to think about how far the Titans have fallen since they had complete command after they won that game in Green Bay at 7-3. But you can certainly understand when you look at some of these injuries that have accumulated week by week. But, man, you look at it now going forward, Tim, no Ryan Tannehill for the foreseeable. The entire offensive line is on the injury report, and you can just keep running going down the list here. I'm wondering if they can win this game on Saturday against Houston in what is going to be a really bitterly cold atmosphere. And you've got Houston, a 1-12-1 team that has played pretty competitively the last couple weeks.
They've been super competitive the last few weeks. And don't forget, Houston beat them earlier this year. So it's like this idea that, like, you know, oh, hey, you're playing Houston, you're good, and, you know, you're going to right the ship? Like, no. And now, you know, with the quarterback situation, I would say this. If I sit here and I say, all right, like, let's look at the Titans. Now, obviously with 7 wins, you know, as we sit right now, they've got a lead. But, you know, Houston, who, as you said, have been super competitive and been in some close ones recently, Dallas, and then Jacksonville. Like, that to me, I have to be honest, does not sound nearly as good if I'm Jacksonville, where I'm getting Zach Wilson trying to prove that he can play, you know, versus the Jets. Then Houston, which is, you know, going to be the same for either team. And then the Titans. Like, if you were to say, like, whose schedule do you like better? I mean, I like Jacksonville's better.
No, you're right, Tim. Who Jacksonville has to play moving forward and the way they've been playing and how they look from an injury standpoint, Jacksonville would be the team that, you know, if you just looked at it, you know, objectively, you would think, okay, this is Jacksonville's division to lose and not the Tennessee Titans because of the injury history. We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, continuing to look at this Titan team, have you, in your years of playing and, you know, following the NFL and being an analyst, have you ever seen anything like this where a team has so many injuries in a 2-year span that it cripples the team this much, whereas, you know, 7 games ago this was their division to win, now they're in a dog hunt, all because the lack of depth and injury?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I lived it actually in Washington one time. Like, I used to joke, like, I was, you know, part of like the all off the street team, you know, like we, you know, had, I'm not making this up. We were playing backups, I think, at every position but left guard on the offensive line. We maybe had left guard and right tackle were the only two standing at the end. But left tackle was a new guy because Chris Samuels was hurt for a year. Center, we had an issue. Our tight ends, for the most part, were relatively healthy. We had two receivers that were healthy. But other than that, it was like we were starting a running back that had come off the street. I was a quarterback that was signed off the street. You know, we had other we had corners that were signed off the street and were playing. And so, look, I mean, listen, I mean, look, I was one of the guys. Like, the reality of it is like, that's not a recipe for success. It's not a recipe for, you know, creating an environment where people feel like the coach is doing a good job, or all the coaches, for that matter, are doing a good job with their players. And so I think if you look at this, like, look, quarterback, it's critical. That's a position that's been injured, and that's a problem. Offensive line, there have been injuries, and so you're playing backups. That's a problem. Receiver has, even though it's gotten healthy, you know, more healthy, you know, recently, that's been a massive problem. You know, and then a similar thing when you look at the defensive side of the ball. So, look, that happens. It happens to a lot of teams, and it completely changes, you know, the outlook and trajectory of your season and your team. I mean, heck, look, but just to take the Titans and some of the emotion out of it for people locally, like, but the Rams, you know? And then, you know, when people look at some scenarios where you go, yeah, but look at how the 49ers have survived. Like, that's not typical. Like, that's not usually how it works out. There are way more scenarios where, like, the Rams or the Titans, you know, are the example, not necessarily, you know, a team like the Niners that are somehow overcoming it.
Tim, hang with us. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit more, and we'll look ahead at also Ryan Tannehill's future. What do we think is going to happen with his contract situation? Stay tuned. Another segment with Tim Hasselbeck coming up here on 102.5 The Game. Segment two with Tim Hasselbeck. The Suit will join us a little bit later this hour.
Yes, he will.
We'll recap last night's Predators game and look ahead to tomorrow's big one. Nashville has strung together two in a row here. Need to keep climbing. Tune in for the NFL pregame this Saturday, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and, of course, Derek Mason, along with Chris Sanders. Chris will be along for Underdogs at noon, by the way. This week's show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, prior to the Titans and the Texans. Tim Hasselbeck with us. And so, D-Mace, you have the first question.
Yeah, Tim, this team has decided to, the last year or two, to run it back. And rightfully so. This is a team that, has won the division twice, and they're looking to hold on and win it three times. But they've chosen to run it back each year. Would it be wise for them to run it back again, considering where this team is at from an injury standpoint and what they need to do to build this team back up?
Well, when, you say run it back, you know, I think that, yeah, I mean, listen, there's turnover every year, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that I think what you're talking about is like run it back with the most expensive pieces, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really what you're what you're gonna, and so I think that it's a time where like there ends up being some really hard decisions, and with the guys that are making a lot of money, and that's certainly going to happen when the general manager is now gone, who, you know, probably signed most of these guys to that really big money. So now, do I feel like it's like this crazy reset? Like, no, I don't. And I don't think it's like across the board where it's like it's everybody. You know, it's left tackle, it's expensive secondary player, it's, you know, expensive pass rusher, it's quarterback, running back. I don't think it's that. But I think they'll end up being some hard decisions with people that, you know, have been, I guess, you know, considered cornerstones. And so, like, but I said this going back, and I think I still feel that it's the case, is that, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and I know there's a lot of people talking about, you know, like his future now. Mm-hmm. I said this a while back. I think that he is a better candidate for an extension than a cap casualty. And I
okay,
still
so take that a little bit further, because let's go over the numbers. As and I'm by no means a capologist, but $36 million just to keep it as it is for next year, to get out of it yep. after June 1st, the dead money would be just shy of $10 million, which is the way you would do it. It
was 10 or 19.
It's 19 if you do it before June 1st. I think after June 1st, you can get it down to 9.8 or something like that, if I've got this okay. right.
Yeah, and so, but that would mean, I believe pretty much that means you would pay him another $9 million between now and then, correct? Because of a roster bonus? Is that
See,
is
that's
that
what
that
I
happens?
That's I don't know how all of the particulars would work there. But of
so,
course,
so here,
up
here,
until
here,
the time he got hurt and they looked like they were going to be the playoffs, I think mm-hmm. we're all kind of thinking, well, just ride it out for one more year.
Yeah, so here's what the question I would have, and I think that you end up having to figure this out, is, all right, let's say you say, like, we're going to eat the money, whether it's 18 or 9 or whatever. That's not unheard of to eat that, okay? Now, who's your quarterback?
That's the question.
What
so you've
and,
got
and
you've got
paying?
Malik Willis right now, who in okay. theory will
well,
get the chance to play for
just,
the next 3 weeks.
But let's honestly answer that question now because we can. Is he ready to be the starter next year?
No,
nobody would say yes. Yeah,
no, he's not. Like, so he's not ready to be the starter next year. So you don't have anybody under contract right now to be your starting quarterback. All right. So now let's say, like, who could be that guy? All right, so we're talking draft, maybe? Like, maybe we're talking the draft, I'm not sure, but, like, you don't know. And so, like, what is, you're in the Mitch Trubisky land, you know? Like, that's just what you are, like, in terms of who your starting quarterback is next year.
That sounds like a great name for a game, Trubisky land.
Yeah. But so like, that ends up being your, like, that's your challenge. And so the other thing is to sit, and this is why I think he's better suited for an extension. Maybe they do nothing, but I think he's more likely to be an extension, get extended, than be a cap casualty, because the numbers next year, like, the cap hit at $36 million hurts. So you could extend them, right? And, you know, organize the money in a way where, you know, you guarantee him more money, but then maybe there's an out the following year, you know, whatever it is, okay?
Okay.
He gets a little more money in his pocket, so he'd be willing to do it. You know, he makes more than, you know, what he would be scheduled to make next year, which is still a lot of dough. I mean, I think he's scheduled to make $27 million bucks next year. He still would make more than that. And then I think what would happen is, you know, it kind of pushes it out. And then he's the quarterback next year. And you know a little bit more about Malik Willis after another year. You maybe the quarterback market is more defined at that point. And then maybe, you know, you end up being a cap casualty. But, like, until you can find a better answer at the position for next year, I don't think that you can cut him. I don't think you can.
No,
you're going to end up spending almost as much money to replace him, and you don't know you're going to get anything better, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, so what we're talking about is let's say he's due, you know, from a cash perspective, around $30 million for next year, right? So if you were going to sign somebody to be the starting quarterback,
you got to budget at least, like, that much, right, if you're trying to upgrade.
Yeah, like marginal, like, here we go, Geno Smith. Let's use Geno Smith as the example. Starting quarterbacks are making north of $40 million a year. So even if you want to sign Geno Smith to be your starting quarterback, you're not getting him less than $15 to $20 million a year. Like, you just know, this is that Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, listen, we don't love you, but,
yeah,
like,
Andy
you're
Dalton.
One of the 32 best on the planet. Yeah. And so, like, you're committing that same money anyway.
This is the game called Trubisky Land.
And I think it's reasonable to say on Ryan that, like, look, he got hurt. Like, and let me just say this too. Like, for anyone that wants to just be like, he's just a guy, and like, his effort this past week,
incredible,
to fight through it. Like, you want guys like that on your team.
No, you're right. And it's hard to replace guys of that caliber. You may not think he's an elite quarterback, but he's a good quarterback in his system. But one thing you do know about him is that, you know, he's going to be, you know, durable for the most part. And if he gets hurt, he's going to try to fight through it and play for you, considering.
Yeah. And think about this, D-Mace. Like, and you know this, and everyone's experienced, and the whole locker room knows it. When a guy's making $30 million, and he made $30 million the year before, okay? Mm-hmm. He's made put out a lot of money in his bank account. And he rolls his ankle, and somebody else can go in and play. And he's like, no, man, tape it up, shoot me up, I'm going back out there. Isn't that, like, not everyone does that. Not everyone does. So I do think that, like, look, they're falling apart. He hasn't had a great year. But, like, there should be an appreciation for that because that's not how everyone responds.
Well,
that he was in last week.
That's not the normal. Part of why Steve McNair was so beloved is because of that very thing that we're talking about with Ryan Tannehill. That, listen, he's going to do whatever it takes to be out there on the field. You don't have to worry about him. If it's an ankle sprain, he's going to fight through it and be out there. If he can walk and semi-throw the football, he's going to be out there. And that's the way Ryan Tannehill is sort of trending. And you just can't take a guy like that and say, you know what, just because you're making $30 million, you got to go. Well, he's been a good quarterback for this organization since he's been here. And to try to find that in the midst of trying to stay competitive, that's hard to do.
It's really hard to do. And I think that, like, and again, when you start to look at the numbers, based on what the quarterback numbers have done, like, you're not overpaying your quarterback anymore.
Right. The market has changed, right?
Yeah. So you're sitting here and you're like, well, wait a second. Like, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to do what the Denver Broncos just did.
Yeah.
Because now the Denver Broncos are done. I mean, they're paying Russell Wilson so much money over the next 3 years that, like, that's going to be a team that is releasing or letting really good talent out out of the building because they're not going to be able to afford him because of the fact that they're paying a quarterback who's underperforming, and he's paid near the top of the market. Like, that would be a problem.
All right, so, Tim, before we let you go, let's look at the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's interesting, especially let's just put it in perspective here. There's a lot of fantasy playoffs going on right now, and Jalen Hurts has turned into a dynamite fantasy quarterback. He's not going to play. And, of course, you look at all the other pieces to that offense, which has been cooking, A.J. Brown and, you know, Devontae Smith and Miles Sanders has had a career year kind of riding on his coattails. What does this game look like with Gardner Minshew playing quarterback against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think, you know, Minshew to me is one of those guys, like he's a better version of Taylor Heineke, you know, where, you know, he's going to make some really, you know, competitive plays and you're going to look at it and you'll be like, wow, okay, like this is good. Like they're going to be fine. They're going to be able to survive it with him. But then he also, you know, and can, like Heineke, can have like the brutal fumble that, you know, sets you back. And so when I look at what the Eagles have done this year, their quarterback run game has dictated how people need to try to defend them because you need to account for the quarterback. So one of the things you need to do in terms of accounting for the quarterback is like you play man coverage and you assign somebody to the quarterback. Like that's how almost everyone has at times decided to defend the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, when you do that, you now are creating these one-on-one opportunities for the talented receivers that you've mentioned. Well, the problem for Philadelphia ends up being that quarterback run game that scared everybody, it doesn't scare you anymore now. And so I think the offense looks way more traditional, and I think that it ends up being a super competitive game. I actually think Dallas you know, ends up winning the football game.
So if you're a Miles Sanders owner, which I am, and so I'm going to be self-serving.
Asking for a friend,
yes. So if he's had, he didn't even get the ball that much last week, but he's obviously had a huge year after not scoring a single touchdown last year. So if you got a playoff game, how is he, like what you're saying, I think what I'm listening
more
carries, but like you go, easier offense to defend, though.
Yeah, but I would take that over, you know, like the split of, you know, dealing with, you know, hey, like what's going to happen? Like, for example, like, you know, had the most carries last week for Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts. He had 17 carries, you know, and I think you can run down a bunch of their games and look at it, and you're like, wait a second, he had the most carries. Now, obviously, not all of them design quarterback runs, but many of them are. And so, you know, like that to me, like that's not going to be the case, you know, when you look at, you know, how this ends up going forward. Like, I just, you know, Jalen Hurts, I don't know what he was averaging on the year, but look, he had 17 carries a week before he had 7. I think, you know, you just keep going down the line. Like, there are a bunch of games where, you know, he has had more than, you know, like double-digit carries. So that one would not be the case with Minshew.
Tim, great stuff. As always, stay busy with the bowl games. You got another bowl game coming up?
No, I don't have another one. I know you guys were tuned in the other night for the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
It was an awesome game, man. Awesome game.
Yeah. Hey, it's actually going to be a pretty competitive game. Now, I will say, like as busy as I feel like I have been during bowl season and stuff, like I just want to give a shout out to Willie because, like, I was at dinner last night. And, like, there you are on TV, you know, with Hal and Chris Mason or Mason, and then so there I am, and I'm like, okay, there's Willie. And then you're on against it. You're like an elf. You're like one of Santa's elves. But maybe you're like Santa. I don't know how you get it all done, but like you literally are everywhere.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, they've got a website just like the Santa tracker. It's the Willie tracker. Like, where is Willie?
Willie tracker?
United Center last night, studio today, Bridgestone Arena tomorrow, and then on to Anaheim and Vegas after Christmas.
Hey, Like, I'm not, do you sleep? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, how much coffee and caffeine? And then we find out, like, you run the Boulevard Bolt in, you know, like, 6-minute mile pace. And I'm like, wait a second, what is this guy made of? I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not productive.
Hey, Tim, I mean, you're building the legend. This is great. Keep coming on. We'll have more on this next week. Tim, have a great Christmas with your family.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Yep. Good stuff. Tim Hasselbeck, we always have fun with him. When we come back, it'll be the suit joining us. He will add to the show. That's what we got to love. The suit coming in. 615-737-1025. We'll keep taking your calls and texts as well. We're having a good time today here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mates. Let me start it off by telling you about Lee Company, proud sponsor of our Predators coverage. Yeah, we'll be at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow on the Willie Tracker. It'll be the Predators and the Avalanche, the defending champions, coming into town for a rematch. Nashville 0-2 out in Denver. Now they get them at home. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And our coverage will begin at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Lee Company, a proud sponsor of the Predators. They also can take care of you. Look, it's going to be bitterly cold over the weekend. Let's hope. Keep your fingers crossed that everything runs properly in your house. And that's where Lee Company, over time, with their home maintenance plan, has been so essential. And if you're in a crisis, absolutely give them a call. They'll get out there as quickly as they can to fix whatever the problem is. General maintenance. So keep this phone number handy over the next few days because you never know what could happen. 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000. Or go to LeeCompany.com. Ah, yes, the music can only mean one thing. The suit is here. And he's going casual today. Let's be honest. Today, the suit, the office feeds off the suit, right?
Yeah.
They pick up on the vibe. He's going with the look.
The casual.
He's got the casual look. He's flashing the logo with pride. Yeah. 102.5 The Game.
I had the Star Wars shirt on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still have that.
But he is suited up in team gear.
Yeah.
Ready to help the show.
Yeah, and look, you know, I'm a man of the people, a suit of the people.
Yes.
And I have to make an appearance on the show that bears my name, you know, with the fellas before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm taking a week off.
Ooh.
You yep. know, a respite.
So you're leaving it on the field. That's what you're doing. You're emptying the bucket.
And I just said to Nick Kieser, who does a tremendous job behind the glass. Nick's going to be doing a little extra tomorrow. We all got to do a little extra sometime.
That's right.
How many show hosts / program directors do you know that will also produce a show like I did this morning?
That's right.
You know?
Look, I got back at 1 o'clock last night. I'm ready to roll today. As Tim pointed out, I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
We're stepping up for the good of the people, the sports
they
talk.
They need us.
We're bringing it.
They
we're
need us, it. Man, this time of year.
That's right.
They need us, man.
People are out. They're shopping. Mm-hmm. They're stressed. They got to get the last minute shopping in there. We're here to soothe you. We're here to take your mind off of the stress. We're just having some fun today.
We are. And I'm happy to be able to jump on, you know, because we got silly underdog picks coming up.
We do.
I did miss my best friend, Tim Hasselbeck, which I hated doing that,
yeah.
But I had to take care of a few things. You know, when you're going to go on vacation, mm-hmm. you have a lot you have to do before you go on vacation,
absolutely.
So you don't have to do that That's while right. on vacation. But, I mean, I will set the over-under of phone calls I get from this place at 5.5 while I'm gone. I'd probably take the over if I had to guess. But, you know, it is what it is. Comes with the territory. How about the Preds?
Well, that was a good win last night. They did. I mean, that's one you really need to win. Let's just be honest. The Chicago is a bad team.
They are so bad.
Chicago has been struggling now for 4 or 5 years, and we know they almost shocked everybody with how much they broke it down last summer from a team that was already struggling. So they're just starting a long road back. They're hoping to get a high first-round pick this year. And there are some really good picks, supposedly, in this draft that can help you. And they've accumulated a lot of picks. That's their strategy now. So you absolutely have to take advantage. And it's unfortunate for the Predators. They only get to play the Blackhawks 3 times
I know.
This year and not 4, even though they're
only
in the same
here, right?
division. Yeah, they only come here 1 time. So you needed to take advantage of that. They did. So, look, it's a good thing, but I think it just builds towards the importance of tomorrow's game because it's another opportunity. There are some times where the schedule is cruel, right? When you go and you got to play, for example, back-to-back Minnesota-Winnipeg, you know, that's a pretty brutal back-to-back. Yep. And it's in the same division, so a lot of teams have to do it once a season. This year, right now, for example, you've got Colorado. You have a chance to play them without Nathan MacKinnon. Colorado is doing what a champion does. They're getting by without Nathan MacKinnon. They're finding ways to get points, but they're not quite the same machine that they will be when they get him back, and not to mention their captain, Gabe Landeskog, who's been out. But they're making it work, but they're not quite the same. So you've got a chance to play them tomorrow at home. That's a big one, right? This will be a good test to see what the Predators have figured out the last couple of days.
You know what, though? I'm going to call my shot. I think the Preds win tomorrow night.
Hmm.
I think they get the 2 points tomorrow night. They're playing better. I know it's two games.
They absolutely are playing better.
There's no question. And, you know, look,
even
the losses, some of the losses during that six-game losing streak, I mean, they were in them. You know, had a couple of overtime.
That was
the
frustrating thing about them. They're tied after two in almost every one of those games.
Forsberg has got to get going, though. I mean, that has got to happen. Duchesne's been playing better, which has been good. Good to see Niederreiter score last night. That he was, you know, kind of in a dry spell. You know what's funny? Whenever we have David Poile on, and I mean, Willie, you know this. You've talked to him for years. There are times where he'll call out a player, and he's not really calling out a player. He'll spotlight somebody when he's talking about what needs to get better. And I noticed when he brought up Nino Niederreiter, you know, that he's leading the team in goals, but it had been a handful of games, maybe two handful of games since he scored. And I kind of laughed, and I said,
I think he had one in maybe a 9 or 10 during this dry spell they had.
And I said to myself, okay, well, Nino's going to score. Nino's gonna get on the board in Chicago, and he did. So it was a good one. Even being down at one point, those two quick goals by Chicago, I really liked the response in the third period, and that they were able to pick it up, get the win. Roman Josi becomes the all-time scoring leader in franchise history. But did you read? So you know Mark Lazarus, who covers the Blackhawks, guy that we've had on many, many times over the years. Did you happen to read his article, or have you heard about it?
Yeah, I did, and I was there. I saw how Mark asked the question to John Hines, and it was really a sort of a cloaked question where nobody sitting there would have known what Mark was working on. First of all, Mark does an excellent job. He's an excellent reporter.
Yes.
Now, put yourself in the shoes of Mark and the people that cover that team. You got a major market.
Yeah.
You've got a team that's won three cups, and right now they're in a full rebuild. What do you write about?
Right.
Tell me what you're writing about every day. I was looking for articles on going on. You're writing about Kane and Taves playing 1,000 games, and other than that, you're writing about nothing. I mean, I'm sure they were trying to get creative on trying to find an article. I disagree with the article to an extent. It is an interesting theory.
It's a good read. It's on The Athletic.
And only time will tell as to whether his crystal ball is going to be accurate or not.
So, Derek, to give you perspective on this, Mark Lazarus is a writer for The Athletic, covers the Blackhawks. This is the headline. Blackhawks fans, it could be worse. You could be Nashville. And he's talking about the rebuild that the Blackhawks are in, and then how the Predators have these long-term contracts and they're basically locked into most of this roster and, you know, kind of in this just good enough to get in and not do anything was basically the whole premise of it.
Well, I mean, it just depends on, you know.
The rivalry is not dead.
It just depends on how do you view the Nashville Predators in this particular situation and how you would view the Chicago Blackhawks in their situation. Do you want to be in a situation that the Blackhawks are in, where they're starting to work their way back up. They're bad now, but they're starting to work their way back up, hopefully. Or in regards to the Predators, we have some good players, some core players that are under contract, but we're sort of in that middle phase where, you know, we can go to the playoffs or we can miss the playoffs. One or two ways. It's not a lock either way. If we go on a hot streak and our, you know, top tier players start doing what they're supposed to do, then we can see this Nashville Predator team being in the playoffs. But if it continues to happen the way it has been happening prior to this two-game winning streak, then we can also see them just missing the playoffs. So which one do you want to be?
Well, yeah. Do you want to discuss that on the other side?
Let's discuss that. Okay. Coming up next, for sure. But can you make your parlays pop this holiday season? Win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from my friends at Superbook Sports, my official sportsbook. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So here's what I'm looking at. I like Cincinnati, -3 on the road at New England. I like Detroit, -2.5 on the road at Carolina. And give me the Minnesota Vikings, -4 at home against the New York football Giants. It's that simple. Rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Tune in for the NFL pregame this Saturday live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders. No D-Mace this week. He's with family. From 9:30 to 11:30, prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. Pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Speaking of Screwball, I'm going to try that in some eggnog. See how that works.
Yeah, just experiment.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be good. Well, I already take a shot of it, but.
Nice. I walked into that one, didn't I?
Thank you, Willie. That'll be good.
Set you up.
You know, vacation starts this afternoon, so
right about now,
you know, the snow can come in. I don't care what the weather does.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. I'm you know, everybody's like, hey, what are we doing tomorrow? Y'all figure it out. I'm gone.
I'm out of here.
Figure it out. Speaking of figuring it out, the Predators did that last night and have done that two games in a row. The power play is popping the last two games. Tommy Novak getting it done.
I think what you're seeing right now, and this will be interesting, is do they have something here that is something that will help for not just the time being, but the next few weeks, the next few months? Because, you know, getting back to our theme right before we went to the break, the Predators are built, they need to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They need to get to the playoffs and have success. That's how the team is built. And there are plenty of questions, as Mark Lazarus is asking, are they good enough at their best to make a playoff run? Well, you've got to get to the playoffs first. So they've got a long way to go. They're in a battle right now, and there's 50 games left, 51, whatever it is. What did they play, 31, I think?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So they got 51 games left. That's a long way to go. But what they've done is they now have three very young centers that are providing a little bit of extra different ingredients in there. Cody Glass has come on the last five games or so. Not only is he playing higher up in the lineup, he's actually playing against other teams' good players. Now, can he do that every night? That's what we're going to have to see. But he's playing really well. He's making really nice decisions. He's passing the puck. He's big enough. He's fast enough. They're able to play a little faster. That's what you're seeing right now. They're getting more transition going right now than they have been in a while. He's a part of that. Juuso Parsonen, he got sick last week in Winnipeg. His game dropped a little bit. But by and large, you take away that game, he hadn't scored much until last night. Last night, he was a force. Again, this is against the Blackhawks. But I like Juuso Parsonen long term. And now you mentioned Novak. He comes in. He's got a really good eye for offense. If he can play with the pace, that's been the question on him. He's not a big guy. He's got to play with pace. But his hockey IQ is really, really good. He's a good passer. So they're infusing a little more youth, a little more offensive skill and tools down the middle so they can move Mikhail Granlund over to the wing. They can use Colton Sissons more as the utility guy to plug in wherever they need him. And it's taking a little bit of the burden off of Ryan Johansson. And so we'll see how Johansson reacts going forward here. But right now it's a formula that looks like it's getting a little more speed as a team going. I mean, they're not just going to win a lot of races. I mean, Roman Josi is a fast skater. They got some individual fast guys, but they need to play fast with transition if they're going to be effective. Duchesne is benefiting from that. If you notice, they're springing him up the ice a little bit more. He's coming in transition, odd man rushes a little bit more, and he's provided a little bit of a spark. That's a good sign. So now, there's still a long way to go, but it looks like they're rounding into form just a little bit if they can keep it going.
So I want to hit on something that you just brought up there. They're a team that has to make the playoffs.
I don't think I'm saying anything profound with that.
No.
They're built.
You're not.
They have to make the playoffs.
Follow me on this. There seems to be this narrative that, and I understand why people think this sometimes in sports in general, not just with this team, but in sports in general. And I do think that there are some franchises that probably operate this way, but I don't believe the Predators are one of them, that it's just good enough to make the playoffs. That's it. That's what the ownership wants. It doesn't matter what they do beyond that. I think that's silly to think that way, because let me take you back to 2017. This city, that building, that team made a crap ton of money because they went to the Stanley Cup final because of attendance, concessions, selling jerseys, all that stuff. That doesn't happen if you don't go far on a playoff run. So to think that, oh, okay, happened one time, let's just keep making it, make it to the first round, get knocked out, we're good with that. That's not how business works. So
that's not how a competitor works. That's not what any competitor sets out to do.
Has that been the result as of late? Yes. Is the fan base tired of that? Yes.
Absolutely.
Am I tired of that? Absolutely.
Yeah, justifiably. No question. Yeah. It's frustrating. And, same thing with the Titans fans. Frustrated.
It's the same thing. But to think that that's the game plan and that's what they're doing on purpose because they haven't, I know a lot of – there's also that section of the fan base that's just ready for a change, ready for a change in leadership. Mm-hmm. And
another natural belief that is natural. I mean, that's not something that's out of nowhere.
No.
Not unique to Nashville.
But to think that – right. It's not unique at all. But to think that that's just going to be status quo, and I've heard the narrative of that status quo with this current ownership group when, Bill Haslam takes over, maybe it'll change and – I don't know. I mean, who knows what his thought process is going to be when he becomes majority owner. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We'll find out eventually. But to say that it's just good enough, just get in, that's not the plan. That's been the result. And I do think that there are, things that they're going to have to do to change that. I like the moves that David Poile made this offseason. I think this roster is better than the results are showing. Maybe this is the turning point. They get to the first of the year. Guys like Forsberg turn it on. Duchesne, Josi continues to play at a high level. I share the frustration. And, I was getting nervous for a while that they were going to have to do something that they didn't necessarily want to do, and that's make a coaching change, even though I don't put it all on him. But sometimes that's what has to happen in – to get the message to the locker room. Derek, you've been in locker rooms. You know how that works. You went through one in Baltimore.
But let me put it on you.
Brian Billick was a good coach.
Patrick Kane has a quote here about this article, Lazarus. They asked him about being the rebuilding. And he goes, I don't really know. You can think of the game you want to think it, but I feel like it's always beneficial to put your best team on the ice and try to win. Obviously, we traded away or didn't sign some pieces that maybe could have helped us this year, and that's the way it is and that's the way it goes. That's the situation we're in. So if you're Patrick Kane or Derek, you're sitting in the locker room, would you rather play for a team that's trying to win or sitting there in his position? He's one of the greatest players of his era. He's a Hall of Famer with Jonathan Taves, and they're sitting here going out there every night with a team that's tanking.
He's playing. There's
no end in sight to the tank.
He's playing for a team that's rebuilding because of him and Taze's contracts. He's a part of the problem. He's a part of the reason that they're having to do that.
Well,
they have three cuts.
They can't move him. Can they?
It's going to be tough.
It'll be tough to move him
now,
because of the salary.
That's what everybody's wondering, is because it's at the last year of their contract. They don't have like years left on their contract, so it's coming up at the end of this year. So that's going to be, can somebody take the load this year? That might happen.
But as a veteran guy, now he's one. The good thing about him is they've won championships. So he's not a veteran guy chasing a championship ring.
Right.
That's the saving grace sort of for Patrick Kane, is that, okay, I've already won one. Now do I want to be on a team that has the potential to win another, or do I want to stay with the team no matter what that I won a Stanley Cup with?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his motivation is. Uh-huh. He's making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's won his championships, like you said. So, I mean, he's groovy.
Yeah. And maybe they do have one more push somewhere before his career ends, whether it's next year
and he can decide to go somewhere
else.
Exactly. Too. That's the other thing. But I think that's the message to this core in Nashville. Ryan McDonough didn't come here to go through a rebuilding process, right? Nino Niederreiter didn't. The guys are already locked up. Obviously, they don't want to do it. It's up to them, though. They've got to take ownership of the team, and they've got to make it happen. Right, they can look around and say, "Do we want to go through a rebuild?" I don't think they want to. So, but they've got to prove that they can get it done, or else at some point the organization would have no choice.
All right, Silly Underdog Picks is coming up next. Looking forward to that. But look, I've been talking about Hair Club for a little while now, proud sponsor of our show. I decided I needed to do something about the power outages that I have upstairs. My hair thinning out a little bit as I've gotten older. Probably working with these guys. Who knows? I love my hair. I love my look. So I wanted to do something about that. That's why I called Hair Club. Hair Club, no matter what it is, restoration, regrowth, small problems, big problems, whatever, they have the answers, and they're all tailor-made for you. All you need to do is go in for a free consultation, and they'll help you out with whatever your hair situation may be. Hair Club has a solution for you. Fill out the form at hairclub.com/chase to schedule your free consultation, and they'll give you 10% off anything you happen to purchase just because you listened to me and I sent you. Or you can text Chase, C-H-A-S-E, my name, to 694-247. Again, it's Hair Club. You're going to absolutely love it, and you're going to feel better.